Let's get back to How to Tour Italy on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, Anthony Capozzoli.
Welcome back to the show, and that was a wonderful segment with Ruth, and the first two segments, anyway, Ruth Edenbaum from Ciao Venice. In the second segment, myself in the first segment talking about all the great things about Venice, we have the wonderful Janice Mancuso with us today to talk a little bit about some great Italian contributions to America. Welcome back to the show, Janice.
Well, thank you.
How are you today?
Okay, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful, and I'm looking forward to learning a little bit more about one or two great Italians and their contributions to America.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Dr. Maria Montessori today, and the area that she's from is Le Marche. And I just wanted to mention that that area has one of the most popular, largest, and most visited natural attractions. It's called the Fossati Caves, and they were discovered just in 1971. And it's part of the natural regional park in Le Marche. It's called the Parco della Golorosa. And you'll find some information about that at Tutto Italiano, and Tutto Italiano is my newsletter. You'll find that at 31 Days of Italians, which I would like to mention to let people know that the website's 31 Days of Italians, and you can just do a Google search for 31 Days of Italians, and it'll come right up.
Great.
And on there, you can go to the index of names, and everything's alphabetical, in alphabetical order, and you can go through the entire list and find the people that I talk about, and all the other ones that I don't get a chance to talk about, but we'll, talk about some of them in the weeks to come. And I just want to mention that area. So if people are going to travel to Italy, they may be interested in visiting the Fossati Caves.
I'm going to be visiting it myself here this summer. I'm going to be spending a couple of days out that way because I want to explore the caves a bit. I'm going to do a show from there and talk a little bit about some of the natural history sites as well included in Italy. So it's kind of a good segue for what I'll be doing here later this summer.
Oh, that's neat. That's that's really great. I'm glad to hear that.
It'll be good stuff.
And, well, getting back to Dr. Montessori, and I mentioned a little bit about her last week, she was the first female doctor in Italy, and of course her educational system is taught throughout the world. When she was growing up, she had a very early interest in education, and she actually wanted to be an engineer. And in the late 1800s, she was born in 1870, so the late 1800s, that was kind of unheard of for a woman to be an engineer.
Oh, yeah.
But she switched. When she went to school, she switched and she decided to become a doctor, which was even more unheard of a woman being a doctor, especially, in Italy at that time. But she graduated in 1896 and attended that year. She was invited to attend a women's conference in Berlin, and she was one of the first women to advocate equal pay for women. That's what she talked about. So even back then, was that over 100 years ago?
Yeah.
She was looking for equal pay for women. So it's been a long struggle for that.
Yeah, well, and it's one of those things. Why not give equal pay? It's one of those things I don't understand why people even have an objection to it. It's like,
I don't know.
They do the same work, and, they should get paid exactly dollar for dollar what men do. It doesn't make any sense to do anything else.
I know.
So, but I'm sorry. I digress.
No. That's fine. That's fine. But anyway, she wound up being appointed a surgical assistant at a hospital in Rome, and one of the things that she had to do was go around to the asylums and visit the people there to see who might need surgery or things along those lines. And she started to observe the children who were there, and she became very interested in how they approach things and their learning skills and their social skills. And she started doing a little more research on that. And after a couple of years, she decided that she wanted to go more into teaching children and learning more about their educational methods. So she decided to open up a place. She was asked to open up a clinic, Casa dei Bambini. It was a children's house. She was asked to run that and teach about 60 children of working families. This is where the families drop their children off.
Sure.
And through that, she researched with her research and her experience in that, she developed her educational method to treat children based on their individual needs and level of understanding rather than the standard teaching method.
Yeah.
What happened was that it became kind of well known, and she decided to give a seminar on that. And she had so many people who who came, was training closest off it, and she had teachers throughout the world who were interested in learning about that. And that's how it started. And her techniques are basically based on learning through the five senses, sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. And it's just been extremely successful.
Well, it certainly has. I mean, I know that every town I ever drive through here in the States anyway, or all around my house here in the Chicagoland area, you see Montessori schools everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So she's quite successful, and good for her. I think it's wonderful to see that stuff, and I'm glad that it's still around and so successful today. I know that I've got some family members that have gone. I unfortunately did not go. I wish I had. Maybe I would be a bit smarter. I don't know. Well, that's good. Well, who else are we going to be talking about today?
Well, I just want to say a few things about Dr. Montessori. One of the things, first of all, is that her name was never, or the technique itself was never, patented. So there are some Montessori schools that don't actually use her technique.
Okay.
So if people are interested in that, when they do some research, they can find a lot of links on 31 Days of Italians. I have a lot of links there as to which, you know, what are the accredited, the Montessori schools. So they might want to be careful with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to, it's been 100 years, that was 100th anniversary in 2007 of her methods. And there's about 4,000 schools in the United States and about 7,000 worldwide that teach her method.
Wow.
So the other, so just wanted to let people know about that. Like I said, you can go to 31 Days of Italians to find out more about Dr. Montessori. The other person that I wanted to talk about was also, his family was from Le Marquet, and they came to the United States in the early 1900s, and that's Robert Mondavi. And he's from the wine industry.
Okay. I think most people have heard of him. If they haven't, they've certainly drank something of his.
Yeah, they should. And once again, he's also listed in 31 Days of Italians. You can go to the index and find some information about him. I will be updating his. There's only a couple of links right now,
mm-hmm.
but I will be updating his bio and finding more links about his contributions and everything. He died late last year, but he revolutionized the American wine industry in the 1960s.
Now, was he born in Italy or was he born in the States?
No, I was just going to say he was born in Minnesota, actually, in 1913.
No kidding. Yeah. See, I don't know too much about him. I've drank quite a bit of his wine. I've been to Napa. I've been to a few of his wineries, and I love his work, I have to admit. But I would have assumed, and that's what you get for assuming, that if he's born in Italy. So born in Minnesota, that seems odd. I wonder how he ended up in Minnesota.
Well, that's where his father, that's where his family immigrated to.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bit cold for an Italian, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, Italians immigrated throughout the United States. I mean, there's some areas, of course, where they're, you know, along the eastern coast, you know,
sure.
and in Louisiana. And there's some areas where they're more of a presence. But they are really, I mean, totally throughout the United States, and that's one of the neat things about it. You don't really hear a lot about that.
Right. Well, I know, let's see, Mr. Mondavi has one of my favorite, and I could be wrong about this, but Opus 1, I believe, is a wine from Mondavi, and then also from the Rothschild family from France.
Yes.
And it's very expensive. It's a very good wine. Opus 1, it's called, and there are some lesser varieties that are rather less expensive that are delicious.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly. I have to go back into my notes to see when they merged with Rothschild, but that's what they did do. I just wanted to say too that actually Robert Mondavi, he kind of followed in his father's footsteps because his father did start working in the wine industry in the 1920s.
Sure.
So I think he may have immigrated out to California at that point. I'm not exactly sure. I think there's a wine industry in Minnesota.
No, and it's funny because people assume that Napa Valley's been kind of a long time wine country, and that just isn't the case. I believe, and I don't know too terribly much about it, but it didn't really get its foothold until the 60s. I know people were out there trying to cultivate wines throughout California, and some Europeans, namely Italians and the French, went out there and discovered that Napa Valley was ripe. And I'm assuming that Mondavi was one of those gentlemen. They kind of kicked things off in Napa Valley. So everyone likes to go have a great meal and drink a little wine in Napa has Mr. Mondavi to thank.
Yeah, he did. That's true. He did in the 60s. Of course, it was started, and I don't remember the exact date, much earlier. And the wine industry in California was started by Italian immigrants. and I think it's back maybe the 1700s, but I'm really not sure. Early 1800s. I'd have to double check on that.
Sure.
And have to talk about that in another segment.
I would love that.
Yeah. But what's really neat about that is that it was started by Italian immigrants, and in the 60s, when Robert Mondavi came on the scene, he revolutionized. What he did was he combined the old world techniques with the new methods, and that's what kind of revolutionized the wine industry in California. And some of those techniques were the fermentation, the types and sizes of the barrels that we use, and even the temperatures.
Right, and now just for listeners that don't know too much about wine, I don't like to pretend that I do, that's a big deal. I mean, the winemakers are very, very rich and big on tradition in Italy and specifically in France. So coming over here to use new techniques mixed with some of the old school methods is quite an achievement. And to get not only to do it well and get it to be accepted by the wine community at large globally is enormous. Specifically what I like to consider old vine vintages of what I would, Western Europe. So that is quite an accomplishment for Mr. Mondavi to come here, do it well, and then get it accepted globally on the wine scene. So good for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff. And I'll tell you, now I'm looking forward to having you on next week and learning a little bit more. And what we should do maybe, if we could talk a little bit, or maybe trade an email or two before next week's show, I can have a couple links on my site that, with just the person's name, that people can go to doyoulovitaly.com and get right to 31 Days of Italians to dig in and find more and more of the wonderful detail that you have on 31daysofitalian.com.
Okay.
Because those websites are amazing, folks. And if you have any interest at all in the Italian culture and heritage and you want to learn more, the website's great. And one thing I do want to point out, that Janice is working pretty hard with the academic community at large here in the United States to get a lot of this content kind of rolled into some history classes throughout the United States. And how is that going?
I'm working on it. It's taking longer than I had expected.
Right. Well, of course.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I mean, I think that it's good for everyone to know that you are working diligently to make that happen. And the content's wonderful. The website is great. And you will discover a lot about some things that you thought you knew about that you don't, like Mr. Mondavi kicking things off in Napa Valley, the Montessori schools, and I have to admit, I like to pride myself on my knowledge of history, and every time I go to your website, I learn at least one new thing, so it's something everyone should do.
I love it. It's so cool. I mean, that's why I like to do it, because it does, bring all the new things, things that have been around that people just don't know about. And next week, I'd like to talk about Tontitown and Welch's Grape Juice.
That's great. I love it. So Welch's Grape Juice it is next week. Yep. And Janice, thank you so much for being on the show. You're a wonderful guest.
Thank
and
you.
Next week, it's going to be a great show, too.
Yes, it will.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Ciao.
All right. Bye.
I love having Janice on the line or on the show with me. She's wonderful. I tell you, so much great information there and so much history about Italian contributions to America. So Welch's Grape Juice to Mondavi, somehow there's probably a connection there. I don't know. What I do want to do, I've got only about 5 minutes here, so I'd like to wrap on, kind of close things up on the glories of Venice. Now, one of the cool things I think you can also do, if you get up early in the morning, just before the sun's coming up, and you're able to get over to St. Mark's Square before the throngs of tourists come in for the day, there are photo opportunities there that will blow your mind with the mist and the fog coming off the lagoon. And the sunlight coming, kind of breaking through the clouds, or rather the mist. It's truly, truly amazing. Now, keep in mind, it very well could be flooded because at high tide, I think it's called Acqua Alta, which is high tide, high water. You'll have to watch out. You'll have to wear galoshes or walk on the boards they place there. And sometimes the water gets quite a bit high. I mean, it's foot and a half, 2 feet high. So just know what you're in for the day. But get out there earlier. Stay at sunset. You can go in St. Mark's and just truly enjoy it. Now, the Campanile, which is the bell tower, it's also important to point out that it fell down in 1902, literally collapsed to its foundation. It's been rebuilt and has been kind of fortified, so do visit it. I'm not a huge, huge fan, this is just my personal opinion, of climbing the Campaniles or climbing to the top of Duomo. The views are wonderful, I think, but there's so much to explore in terms of the culture. Unless you're a photographer and really want that shot, I would save my time and my energy for something else, walking the streets and doing things. Now, I don't want to tell you what to do, but I think climbing the Campanile is beautiful. But I think there's better views and better things to do in Venice than that. I think I might want to end with a cool story. I think one of my favorite things in Venice are the people and just how beautiful the city itself is. Well, I was having dinner in a piazza, and this was a pretty cool little place, and it was off on the other side of the canal, and this piazza had in it table set up. And around the whole piazza, there were four or five different restaurants. So what would happen when you sat down? They would come out and bring you menus from all the different restaurants, so you can order something from each of the different restaurants if you chose. You didn't have to order from just one. So it was pretty cool. So I ordered, unbeknownst to me at the time, a different course from different restaurants, the wine from here, and it was a really, really cool way to go because I got to experience so much different different cuisine. Now, it's not just seafood. They have lots of rice dishes, and they do have some wheat pasta dishes and things, but seafood is, in my opinion, the order of the day for Venice. Now, the main point of this story is what happened after dinner. I was sitting there enjoying a cocktail after dinner, and around the corner came, it had to be 30 people dressed in kind of hooded, for lack of a better term, like cloaks. And I guess in the States, people would get freaked out and run for their lives from the piazza if you saw 30 people in hoods come walking around the corner. Well, I was intrigued, and sure enough, they set up and began to perform. And this was a completely free concert. It was spontaneous. And they were in town for an international choral competition. And they were focused on like Gregorian chant. So they did a chorus. They sang some more traditional, I guess, Italian operatic kind of stuff. And then they also did some ancient, like, Gregorian chant. And I have to tell you, it was truly an experience to behold. I mean, people lit candles on all the tables. I mean, the restaurants and everything just completely embraced the moment. All of the shutters around the piazza swung open, and all of the old women were throwing roses and flowers out the window. And all this, literally, because at right place at the right time, I guess. But this is the kind of stuff that you will have an opportunity to see in Venice. It's truly amazing. I've got about 30 seconds. So I do want to say, don't eat or drink too much around St. Mark's Square. You will pay a fortune for it. I guess it's just like saying I had something to eat at a cafe near Central Park in New York or on Michigan Avenue in Chicago. But you'll pay upwards of 10 euro for a drink. It's quite expensive. Next week, we're going to have a wonderful show. We're going to have Kathy McKay back with us from Dream of Italy. We're going to have Janice Mancuso with us as well. And we've got another guest who may be on the show, maybe not, just due to some personal issues. So I'm not going to say their name at this point, but I hope that she'll be able to make it with us. It'll be great stuff. I'm not even going to tell you what the content of the show is because it's a secret. Ciao.